Welcome to The Wild Hunt. We are an unofficial podcast having a casual conversation about the History Channel television series Vikings. I'm your host, Em.
I'm Steve.
And I'm Paul.
Thank you for joining us for season two of The Vikings. We're talking about episode two, Invasion. What did you guys think?
Good.
I liked it. Not as much as the first one. I think this is a good... This is our filler episode to give us a little more background on some of the new characters and what the direction this part of the show is going to go. So I enjoyed it, but I wasn't on the edge of my seat. Not until the end.
Yeah, I can't agree with that mostly. I liked it. It's still an A-plus episode. Mm-hmm. It didn't let me down in any way, shape, or form. But I did miss LaGuerta and Bjorn being there.
Big time.
Because they're major characters in the story in their own right. They're not just like... you know, side characters or something like that. And the fact that they weren't there, I was kind of hoping that this would be the episode where we saw an older Bjorn and, you know, what's going on with them, wherever the hell they ended up going.
Yeah, I kept thinking he was going to show up because he was mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
But having said that, like, I wasn't disappointed by any of it, and it was still a great episode.
Yeah.
I really liked it at the first watch, and I continue to like it as I watched it throughout the day. But we'll talk about why later. And if, you know, if you guys want to talk to us about it, what you thought about the episode or what we've said on this podcast, you can contact us at our website at noship.net. You can write to us directly on the website, or you can write to our noshipnetwork@gmail.com. And also you can link to our Facebook page and our Twitter account on our website. And also, please rate us on iTunes. This episode was written by Michael Hirst, of course, and directed by Kieran Donnelly. The last episode was also directed by Kieran Donnelly, which I failed to mention.
Hmm.
So now we are 4 years later, and the scene opens up with Auslaug, which that is the pronunciation, because I watched an interview with Alyssa Sutherland, mm-hmm. and that's how it is pronounced.
It's Auslaug, like Auslander?
Yes.
Not Auslaug.
Not Auslaug.
Auslog. Not what you drop in the toilet.
Right.
An
ass log.
No ass logs. If she pisses me off, I'm calling her ass log, though. I don't care. So far, she's all right, though.
So we see her call to her son, Ube. That's actually her firstborn. And there's another because she says, let's find out what your brother Vitzirk is doing.
Yeah, they've been busy. Vitzirk.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. Busy, busy.
I wrote that right here. And she's also pregnant.
Yeah.
So now we're at a feast, and we see Athelstan is debating which is better, an axe or a sword, with some others. Thorstein, actually. Floki enters with Helga and is greeted by Thorstein. Floki greets Athelstan by calling him a priest.
And he's got a girl with him.
That's Helga.
Oh, was it?
Yeah, Helga goes and sits with, I want to pronounce his name
Athelstan
right.
Athelstan finally got laid again, but oh well.
Maybe it happened off the set.
He's come a long way, though.
Oh, yeah.
I'm proud of him.
They still make him look like an Englishman. I noticed, by the way, they cut his hair, you know. He still does. He looks like an Englishman still, I think.
Well, he's a little shorter than everybody else.
Yeah.
That's noticeable.
Mm-hmm. The black hair, it's cut like, you know, it's cut. He still looks like an Englishman. I thought it was kind of cool.
I think Englishmen were shorter than the Vikings.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, but
you notice it. I kind of think they go out of their way to show it to you.
Make him look smaller. And then when Floki calls him a priest, I have no idea what Athelstan said. It almost sounded like it was another language. Was it?
I believe it was, yeah. He said something in, but it was a language that Floki understood.
Yeah.
Because he could tell on his face that he was like, you got me.
Do you think that he said something in English? Because later on in the show, he talks to Englishmen and they make it sound like another language.
The old English, which sounds very Germanic, because mm-hmm. there's a lot of, like, the word for king is König, which is the German word for king,
okay.
among other words that I picked up in there, like Kennen and Zind.
Awesome.
But, I don't know if it was, it didn't sound like anything I recognized, and I couldn't get the closed captioning to work when I prepared the podcast
what I was just about
today.
To think.
It was pissing me off. I had to go and look up, Auslaug's son's names because I couldn't understand what she was mm-hmm. saying when she said Uba and Vitzirk.
So, Ragnar's, you know, when he was saying to LaGuerta last episode, I don't love her. She's just bearing my child. So we have to accept her and take care of her because she's got my mm-hmm. kid. That just kind of got thrown out the window whenever she left town. He was like, oh, well, screw it. Does she
Might
fit
as well
swear
embrace
it?
Embrace another
yeah.
wife.
Yeah. And it's been 4 years, too.
Yeah, but they started pretty soon after that first baby was born, because you got basically a 4-year-old, a 3-year-old, and then, you know, she's pregnant. Yeah. So.
Oh, okay. So now Floki asks after he's looking for Ragnar, and then he ends up talking to Ragnar about when they will raid. And then he tells Ragnar this, what some people have been saying about him, like how he's reminding them of the old Earl, Earl Haraldson.
It's funny how he reacts. He's just like, oh, really? I guess I'll just have to talk to him.
I guess Floki knows his weaknesses.
Yeah.
So Ragnar makes an announcement about raiding England. King Hurik and Jarl Borg will be joining them. Siggy is looking on.
Gold digger.
She doesn't look very happy at all.
Well, she knows, you know, Rollo should be there.
I don't know what to make of her.
Gold digger.
I think there's that, but I think she's not, it's not all just that.
What do you think it is?
Yeah, she's a gold digger.
when we get to the scene with her and Auslaug, we can talk about it a little bit more.
Okay.
So, time to feast. Ragnar kisses Auslaug, but when he sits down, he seems to not be enjoying the trappings of earldom. I don't know if you noticed the way he sat down and he made that frustrated sound after giving that speech. He's feeling some pressure, frustrated resignation. I'm not sure how you would describe that.
I mean, it's identifiable. I mean, you're in a leadership position and you know what's going on. You know what needs to be done, but you have these people who demand that you explain it to them. And it just kind of gets frustrating because you're like, okay, look, this is what we're going to do. Let me put your mind at ease. And that can be a little bit trying. You can tell when he sits down, like you said, he just kind of steeples his hands in front of his face like he's just weary.
Well, do you think he was planning to raid or he didn't actually decide to raid until Floki?
No, I think he was planning it. Yeah, because he was waiting for the ships to be built. And
they do take a long time
to
get
together.
Mm-hmm. Well, all the points he made about why they hadn't raided West were valid, whereas the old Earl, Haraldson, he was just...
set in his ways.
Yeah, he was set in his ways, and he didn't want anybody else to steal his glory and stuff like that. So I think it's two very different reasons.
Okay. So Siggy walks home and stumbles upon Rollo on the ground, and she wakes him up.
I think he was sleeping in his brother's 11 o'clock nap spot, too.
Or in his brother's shadow.
The 11s. He was passed out drunk.
Oh, yeah. She fucks him up with that bucket of ice water, though. Yeah. Although you're already sleeping in the snow. Either way, it's no good.
Poor Rollo.
Yeah. They're still tugging at our heartstrings with it, but throughout the episode, they remind him, you did this to yourself.
He's going to have to do a little bit more redempting, I guess, for lack of a better term, for me to feel sorry for him at this point.
Ragnar talks to a serving girl from Uppsala. Auslaug does not like it. Auslaug warns the girl about being too familiar.
Slut. No, I'm kidding. She's funny because she's like, how old are you? Yeah, go on.
She's like, old enough.
Well, she has to know, Auslaug has to know on some level that, you know, Ragnar is just, he's kind of a, I don't know what
horn
the term
dog.
Yeah, he's a horn dog. He's going to get it where he can. I mean, he was perfectly happy being married to Lagertha, and then just like the first time he meets up with this girl, he's sleeping with her and knocks her up. Mm-hmm. So, you know, her suspicions are a little bit warranted. Yeah. I think.
I agree.
I like the conversation they have after when he confronts her in the bedroom.
Yeah.
And he denies his flirting. And I thought it was interesting because we talked briefly last episode about how real this show and actors portray the intricacies of relationships. And I think this scene is no exception. Mm-hmm. And he tries to like pass it off like she's just being silly, but she's like, no, I'm not.
He tries to pass it off as her condition, quote unquote, because she's pregnant, which is like total cop out go to for a guy. Oh, it's just your hormones because you're pregnant.
And she comes out in this scene and talks about possibly being a seer, too, which I thought was interesting because, I mean, she knew right away she was pregnant last time. And I was like, oh, whatever, you know, but now, I mean, we'll see, because she makes some pretty bold prophecies.
I remember I said last episode, I think she's a magical being. So I think this is, she knew when she met Ragnar that he was going to be the father of her children, at least, I think. And she gives him a prophecy about Sigurd, is that right? Sigurd, snake in the eye is what his name will be.
So we have Siggy and Sigurd. That's not going to get hard to remember. There's a serpent in the eyes.
Yeah.
How are they going to pull that off?
I don't know. Cool. I don't
Can't
know.
Wait.
That's how
that would be cool if it was like Moradin with the saw floating through his eyes. You know, it's just like something there that you could see.
Yeah,
that'd be awesome.
That would be cool. Ragnar meets with the seer. He wants to know about his sons. Ragnar's sons will be more famous than him, including Bjorn.
I like this scene for two reasons. The first reason is because he tells about, it sounds like he's telling him about all of the exploits that his sons, plural, are going to have. Mm-hmm. And then he says, well, I want to know about Bjorn, my first son. Where is he? What is he doing? He's like, that's the son I was talking about.
Yeah, which is awesome.
Yeah, so that was pretty cool. And you could see, like, the jealousy on his face. And they touched on that before, you know, about how a father can be jealous of a son. Mm-hmm. But and when he was talking to the spirit of his daughter. But the second reason I like this scene is because he doesn't end up licking his hand, or at least they don't show.
Now that you're an earl,
yeah,
you
he might not
lick
have
to
duty
do that. Off. Yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't think of that.
He just licks his own hand because he did that when he got up in Alslog's face when they're in the bedroom. For some reason, he licked his own hand and then he fell over backwards onto the bed.
I think that's just called being drunk.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'm going to sleep. Shut up. Turn the TV down.
You lick my hand? No, no, no. There's no one you can tell on me now. Lick your own fucking hand. Hey, well, the seer's hut was a little nicer this time, too. I thought it was smaller last season.
Is that the same actor?
It's hard to tell. We didn't see his face.
Yeah, he was mostly in the dark, but I swear he looked familiar, and I don't think he was the same actor.
I don't know. No. I mean, he was so made up and mutated looking that. I mean, they could pull it off not having the same actor. I would never know the difference.
Ragnar, I am your father.
Oh, that would be
awful.
Okay. Siggy and Rollo, she goads him out of his self-pity and tells him to go and speak to Ragnar. I have some thoughts about Rollo I'd like to discuss in the speculation section.
Well, we're glazing over that she doesn't. I thought she was going to be like, if you don't go and talk to him, I'm going to kill myself. But she straight up tells him, either you go talk to him or just fucking kill yourself and get it over with. And then he grabs that hot knife. It doesn't even let go. Yeah, Rollo's got that hard streak through him. I mean, he's a badass. I'll give him that.
Mm-hmm.
He's still got his resolve. He just doesn't, I think he's confused. He lacks
he's
any
lost.
Kind of direction.
Yeah,
he doesn't know where to, yeah, exactly. He doesn't know where to put it. So she's trying to help him, but I mean, she's more of a manipulator than anything else.
Yeah, well, she's realizing that too. Later on she realizes that she's not going to get to her point of power with him.
Mm-mm.
The only people who are supporting him, in quotations, are manipulators, because even Jarl Borg tries to pull that later. Ragnar and family are in their common room when Siggy and Rollo make their entrance. Ragnar dismisses everyone except Rollo, and he means everyone.
That was awesome. When he told
Siggy doesn't want to go. She's like, but I thought, no, you thought wrong.
Yeah, Squiggy, go.
Rollo tells Ragnar of his suffering. He wants to earn his brother's respect. Ragnar will think on it, and he says to Rollo that he broke his heart.
So you think this is the first time they've talked in 4 years? It seemed like it to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's what we're supposed to believe.
Mm-hmm. Which would be hard, living in your brother's village, everybody talking about him, seeing him all the time, him throwing the gatherings and stuff, and you can't go.
Yeah, you can't go.
No wonder he was drinking and just passing out in the snow.
So Athelstan and Ragnar train together. Athelstan is training with an axe. Ragnar asks him if he misses England. Ragnar asks Athelstan to come with them to England, and he says that he may be useful to them, which seems to goad Athelstan.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's trying to get him to like fight with a little bit of fire, you know.
Yeah.
Ragnar talks to Athelstan about killing and tells him never to hesitate.
This scene was I was expecting Ragnar just to bust out with "What is beneath your feet?"
It does look like a ludus training.
Yeah, it was a nice little it was reminiscent of that. I'm sure it was not intentional, but...
Yeah.
So King Horik meets with Ragnar. Ragnar was carrying another goat,
I know.
Actually.
I noticed that. We might get a
Could
baby
this goat, be the same
everyone.
Goat? Yeah.
Maybe it's a pygmy goat. Maybe not a baby goat, so maybe it's the same.
You might just have a soft spot for baby goats.
Maybe.
They're probably nice to hug.
And when King... Oh, yeah. So he was carrying it right when King Horik entered. Ragnar reunites King Horik and Jarl Borg, much to the displeasure of both, more so with King Horik. The enmity has not dissipated. Rollo enters and wants to know what Ragnar has decided. He is now acknowledged as Ragnar's brother, but he is forbidden to raid.
Yeah, old Rollo needs to work on his timing.
I know, it is bad timing.
Yeah, come on, man. You know? All right, everybody's here.
Everybody
now
who
I'll
hates
go.
Me.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch.
You can, I swear you could see it on Ragnar's face. He's like, oh, God damn it.
Rolo, fucking idiot.
But to Rolo's credit, he accepts it with good grace. He says, I accept your judgment, and he leaves.
Yeah, thank goodness.
Well, maybe it's also, you know, these are the people you'd want to have witness that, you know, have Ragnar acknowledge that. It's like some way, like a protection that's put on
him.
That's
a good point.
And it's also kind of like a, was it witnessing or I don't know if that's
like
the right
they're
word.
All notaries, is what
no.
you're saying.
But maybe it's just like showing, it's an, also like a, even though he's repairing his relationship with Ragnar publicly, it's also in some way an extension to them, maybe some sort of like indirect apology.
Well, that makes sense.
So we have a feast. Everyone is present. King Horik and Auslaug talk. He actually has a pretty funny line about killing dragons in his head. Ragnar talks to King Horik's son and briefly talks about Bjorn. We learn he knows nothing about Bjorn's whereabouts, which I thought was kind of surprising.
Sad, but, too.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you got to think of Lagertha and her nature. She's just basically, she left.
Cut him off.
You know what I mean? She's not going to be coming back going, hey, we're here if you wanted to send us a package or we're doing this. She's not going to keep him appraised of what's going on.
Blast shields down.
Yep.
Done. King Horik tells Ragnar he does not want Jarl Borg to go along. Poor Ragnar. He's just like, oh.
I know. It's a typical king move in any of these types of shows. You know, the king always seems to make a stupid mistake that fucks him in the long run.
And then he turns around and he's like, I'm sure you'll appraise him of our decision.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, damn it. So you're putting him in between a rock and a hard place, really.
Make it our decision, too, not just.
Yeah, you're agreeing with me, right? Mm-hmm. Right, yep.
And as a refresher, I don't know if you guys remember, King Horik is king of Denmark. Jarl Borg is, I guess, Jarl of Gotland or Jotaland. I don't know how they say it, but I think that's Sweden. So, King Horik and Siggy make eyes at each other, too, at the table. And I think Ragnar noticed it. King Horik's boats arrive. Floki is not jealous.
Yeah, right. They won't make it out of the fjord.
Ragnar tells Jarl Borg. So hard to say that.
Jarl Borg.
Ragnar tells Jarl Borg the new development. Jarl Borg basically tells Ragnar that you just made a huge mistake.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was almost like words that you would find in Revelations or something. Like, you know, the golden cup has broke, the bucket has spilt into the stream or something.
I think he's just being, like, overly dramatic, really.
Well, if you think about it, that's 4 years of like, all right, we're going to go make some money. We're going to go raid. They're letting me in the group. And then right before you go, after you built your boats, got everything ready, they're just saying, change your mind. You smell.
We're not friends anymore.
Yeah. Unfriended, bitch. So he handled it better than I would. I would have been like even more pissed off. But it seems like he was there alone. He had no entourage. He didn't have anything. Nobody was around him.
It seemed.
It's kind of weird.
They might have had a missed opportunity. They should have let him go. He could have been on one of the boats that foundered, if that's what happened.
And, you know, I really don't understand why trust is such a big issue with the raiding party. Because once you get to where you're going, whoever is living there in England is going to view all of you as enemies.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to, you know, if they see you fighting amongst each other, they're just going to let you do it and kill each other. They're not going to help.
It's the method of getting there still. Do you think that's what's being guarded so closely? Because
could be, so that way they couldn't repeat the process.
Yeah, so he can't like come back and then
gather
his own.
That's true, yeah.
I think the other king might have had it planned from the beginning. Stop the fighting, get your stuff together, but maybe in the back of his head he's always like, I changed my mind, you know. I really don't want you getting any money. But
Yeah, because there's still a huge amount of resentment that he has to pay this other guy money.
It is stupid, though. Well, I have a prediction, but I'll wait till the end.
Okay.
Till we get to that part, because I have an idea.
Okay. King Horik and Siggy talk about Ragnar. She says she can tell him Ragnar's weaknesses.
You know what that is? His fondness for baby goats.
And baby blonde girls?
Could be. Could be. That's possible. I put the two together. Weakness.
This is a huge insight into her character, because she's sitting there trying to explain, like, well, don't you think that that's an awesome thing to know, the weaknesses of your friends? It's like, why do you ever need to know the weaknesses of your friends? It's like, it's not something you need to know.
So
I don't know if he sees it for what it is, and he's just going to try to get what he can get out of the situation. Or
he just wants to get laid.
That could be it, too.
Yeah, because, I mean, how does that prove that they can trust each other just because she boned you?
It's a guy, you know. That's how he thinks sometimes.
It doesn't, but it's
he hasn't gotten around enough, in the right.
You've seen me naked. We can trust each other.
Jarlborg and Rollo. So we have a scene between them. Jarlborg tries his manipulation on Rollo again. Rollo reveals he wants to find himself. And
did either of y'all think that he was just going to go the first time around? That he was going to be like, all right, I'll join
up. Yeah, right.
No. But Rollo says he wants to find himself, which I like that he says that. And I'll talk about that why in the speculation section. But and this is where Rollo ends up punching Jarlborg because he's kind of a...
It's a good punch. He like a rabbit punch him and totally fucks his lips up and knocks him off his chair.
Yeah, and then Borg calls him a fool. And yeah. Rollo says yes, but he hopes to be wise.
I like that scene because it was a kind of a capstone on the whole idea of Rollo being what he used to be. Because if you had any suspicions that he might turn back to this like turncoat and betray his brother, he just kind of put an end to it right there.
Could be some trickery though.
Mm-hmm. Possibly.
Setting us up.
Get you comfortable.
Mm-hmm. Get you liking one last time.
I know. It's hard to, it's hard to tell. Uh-huh. King Horik and Siggy have sexy time.
Which, you know, in this show doesn't really amount to too much.
Mm. Yeah, it's brief.
Yeah. Which.
And not very revealing.
I'm okay with because it's, you know, in when we did Spartacus, there was a lot of talk about sex because there was a lot of sex going on. It's kind of nice to just leave that element out. They have nice. It's the History Channel. It's not Stars. Yeah. So their parameters are a lot more limited, I'm sure.
Plus, sometimes less is more. I said it during the Spartacus cast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Leave a little of the imagination. I don't need to see everybody's dicks.
I do. Ragnar says his goodbyes. Obviously, he loves his children.
It seems like he kind of loves her, too. But it's not like... I don't know. It's not full blown, you know.
Right. I have a question mark there because I initially wrote, I think this shows that his love for Auslaug is somewhat limited and Auslaug knows it. But every time I watch it, I get a different interpretation. And then when she hugs him at the end, she has that look of pain on her face. And I don't know why.
Well, it's because I think she always knows she's going to be the second wife.
Yeah.
And he went and chased the first one, but the first one left him. You know, he didn't make the conscious decision of it'd be like being with somebody and wanting them to love you, but they didn't leave their wife to be with you. They just their wife left him. So there's always that question of if she was there, you know, would he still treat her the way he does now?
Because he didn't forsake Lagertha for her.
No.
He was trying to get that, you know, why don't we all just live together as one big happy family.
And how did you interpret that scene? Did you?
Well, he said goodbye to one of his kids, and then he kind of like walks right past her, and they share a look. A look goes between them. Then he goes to his other kid to say goodbye to him. Then he goes to her last.
Her belly.
Yeah, and then he gives her a hug. So I, you know, I think he just views like he was in love with Lagertha as much as he could be in love with any woman. But every other woman is just going to be a vessel for him to pop out sons with, you know.
He went to the second son and whispered in his ear, wrong son left.
Don't be here when I get back.
Oh, poor little kid.
Because he doesn't talk about his other sons to the other Vikings. You know, it was like, well, let me talk about, he's not here, never mind.
Well, he knows there's going to be some reckoning when that kid's an adult. Mm-hmm. He comes back and he sees him again. I mean, just don't even get into what the seer told him.
Yeah.
Just think about him coming back and being like, you made my mom leave. You know, and he grew up the rest of his life with his mom. So there might be some awkwardness there.
So he was 12, 11 when he left? 12 or 13. Because he was 4 years, said he was going to be about 17.
Said he's about the same age, so, 13, so it could be
12,
somewhere in there. Could be like 16.
The important years of a man growing up.
I think he's 12. I think he was 12. Mm-hmm. I'm trying to remember from season one, because they said his age in the first episode. So, and then before they're done with their goodbyes, she tells him that she believes that he will cross the sea safely. And I think she's saying that from her ability that she can see things, but she's going to give a sacrifice to Thor anyway.
Maybe the pained look is if she's a seer, she kind of knows that some bad shit goes down, you know? Maybe she knows it's not going to be an easy trip, and then, you know, the new king that shows up looks like he's going to be badass.
That occurred to me, and I thought, like, a little bit further, maybe they want us to think that, mm-hmm. but maybe it's just pain of her loneliness.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know.
Well, there's also, I mean, he this found her the last time that he went out on an extended trip. It wasn't across the sea.
Oh, yeah.
But she could be thinking, you know, like, because the, like, alluding back to the flirting at the beginning of the mm-hmm. episode, she could be thinking, great, who are you going to find over in England and come back with, you know.
And was that girl on the boats? Was she a shield maiden?
Who?
The girl, the servant girl?
From Uppsala.
No, I don't think so. I think she's just a servant.
Okay, so there's a pack of girls there.
She women. Didn't look like any of them.
Okay. They didn't. I didn't get a good look.
Yeah, they looked a little bit older.
Yeah.
Okay. Too old for Ragnar.
Rollo watches the Vikings disembark rather angrily.
Kicking rocks.
Throwing shit.
You guys go. I'll throw more rocks at you.
Well, it's got to be frustrating for him, though, because he's accepted back into the fold. So mm-hmm. everything's good on that level. But the only thing that he's really good for, he never struck me as a farmer or a craftsman or anything.
He's a fighter.
Yeah, he's a warrior. So mm-hmm. what's he going to do if not be on the boat with them, killing people that he doesn't know in a foreign land and taking their shit?
Well, they're on the boats. Ragnar has a pet raven also.
Yeah, that's badass. It was just like chilling on his shoulder.
Yeah. And they should be close to land at this point. They send out the ravens, and they are met with storm.
That was a good CGI scene,
mm-hmm.
the way they did that. When they show the view and you see the back of everybody and the huge waves are coming up, that was really well done.
They eventually come to a rocky shore but are driven off course. And this is while the storm's still happening. Meanwhile, Auslaug and Siggy make friends. Auslaug and her make an alliance without fooling each other, which I the reason why I wanted to wait till this, where I was saying, I don't really know where she's coming from for sure. I do believe she is a gold digger or someone who's out for her survival, mm-hmm. but she also seems to really be appreciative of having a friendship. The look on her mm-hmm. face when it was decided, okay, we'll be friends, like she looks.
Well, she's been on the outs for 4 years because of Rollo. And then on top of it, it's a smart move on Auslaug's part because I think she recognizes that she's, you know, she's kind of dangerous just wandering around the village like that. And maybe she knows
something,
you know, Squiggy Bone, the king. So
keep
smart.
Keep your friends close and your enemies closer.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but, you know, if friendship really meant that much to her, she would have followed Lagertha, wouldn't she have?
That's true.
Yeah.
But she doesn't want to leave.
The opportunism means more.
Yeah. She doesn't want to leave that station that she had, and she was hoping Rollo would be, she had just convinced Rollo to stay.
Friendship is secondary.
Mm-hmm.
Calmer seas. They are away from land again. They have lost some men.
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah, because I was trying to count. It looked like, what, 12 boats mm-hmm. maybe? And so they're down to 5.
Yeah, lost half.
And they end up elsewhere, which we later learn is Wessex. They embark on shore. They are being watched by someone in soldiery attire. I really like the music when you see them walking on the shore. Did it remind you of the Moon soundtrack, the movie Moon?
No, not when I heard it, no. But, I mean, if I go back and listen to it again, because mm-hmm. I was waiting for some sort of sneak attack, because when they, you know, get out of the boats on shore, you can see somebody watching them. So when they're walking through the along that little creek, I was expecting something to happen then. So I was kind of on the edge of my seat, and I was like, oh. So, the music didn't stick in my head.
Yeah, it's before they get to the creek. It's just when they're walking on the beach, and it's in fog, and mostly like grays and blues color, and the music sounds... Anyway, I'll play it back for you later. But when they get to the creek, before they get to the creek, actually, we see that the soldier had taken off on a horse, so he's going to warn some people. In fact, the music changes at the point you start to hear battle drums.
Hmm.
And then the Vikings make their way more inward into the country. They walk along a stream bed. Floki discovers fish. They stop to eat and rest.
Fish.
Soon they are rained upon by arrows.
That was awesome.
It was filmed very well.
The whole battle scene was. Even some of their tactics was awesome. Whenever they were in the middle, were awesome. Whenever they're in the middle of the fight and they're all grouped together and Ragnar calls for an opening, it lets the English soldiers in, and then they close it back in mm-hmm. and fuck them all up. I've never seen anything like that before.
It's the rope-a-dope.
Yeah.
You push resistance, and then you like let go, and then mm-hmm. that person comes towards you, and then you got them.
Yeah, it was smooth.
It was a tight, a close fight. Like, everybody up on it. It wasn't, I guess, but that's the nature of swords and axes, right?
Yeah, yeah. In a lot of different shows and movies, it's usually spread out to catch individual fights and action and stuff. But just the fighting style of the Vikings is just fantastic. It's new.
It's gotta be prone to friendly fire there.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure. You just don't tell anybody if that happens.
Athelstan proves his bravery during this battle, though Ragnar had to give him some aid to survive it. But that's also returned in kind.
Yeah.
The Vikings literally close in on their attackers, as you described already, Paul, and they start hacking into them. Athelstan ends up saving Ragnar, and the Vikings win, and then they cheer, and England trembles. I really liked how they filmed that with them cheering, and it kind of has this faded sound. And
It was awesome.
Yeah.
And Ragnar gives Athelstan that the ring, or that, the bracelet.
Is that an armband? Like what?
Yeah, I think it's what the
what Bjorn
kids get.
Got? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's when they become men. So yeah. He's kind of like telling them, you're a man now.
I'm older than you.
Yeah, you do realize this, right?
King Horik's grieving the loss of his son.
Yeah.
Ragnar gives Athelstan a... Oh, yeah, you already said that. And so then Ragnar and Athelstan question two captives, and Ragnar's holding a decapitated head in his hand.
And it looks like a basketball. Yeah, it's just like...
He's pretty, like, pleased with the idea that he's doing that, too. You can see it on his face.
Oh, yeah.
So they learn that they are in Wessex, and the King Ecgbert rules this land, and he's a king of renown. Like, Athelstan knows him, and apparently he's...
a badass.
Has some heroic qualities, possibly, that are similar to Ragnar's. And so next scene, we meet this King Ecgbert, and after that scene, I was just so excited for this whole season.
Why? Because it was a naked man? Or...
I don't know. It's just
stand up.
I think he's going to be the villain of this episode, if you want to call him that. And
For sure.
I looked him up, and I have learned some things about Charlemagne lately, and supposedly he's a student of Charlemagne. I don't know that for a fact.
Ecgbert.
According to the History Channel Vikings Wikia page, King Ecgbert and Charlemagne. I mean, he brutalized the Saxons, who are, you know, distant relatives of Vikings, or of the Scandinavians, I should say. They share the same religion. And he was forcing them to conform to Christianity, and he just killed thousands and thousands of them because they wouldn't conform. And he cut down their tree, very much like King Laman in Wheel of Time.
The tree killer.
Yeah, the tree killer. Yeah. Well, anyway, so that's not neither here nor there. That's Wheel of Time. So
I
anyway.
Just want a bathtub that size. All these shows have these badass, like, 8-foot freaking square foot bathtubs. It's just awesome.
Well, that was probably introduced by the Romans. Those baths.
I'm sure.
So next episode is called Treachery.
Oh.
Okay, so we're going to do the speculation section a little bit different. We're not going to put music in between because it's not actual spoilers. We're just speculating. So you can just turn it off right now. I'm not going to, you know, cushion it with music. And it was kind of sounded stupid. So we're just going to just talk about what we think might happen later on in the season based on the information we've gotten at this point. And you know, it could be spoiler in the way if some of us have come across any historical facts or anything in our reading that we might bring up. So that's not going to come up very often because we don't.
The writers would still have to be on the same page. They're making their own show.
Yeah, so absolutely.
Even if we know what happens historically, I mean, just look at a movie that's adapted from a book. You read the book, you think you know what's going to happen in the movie, and then nope, that's not it. So.
And speaking of, I didn't finish a thought I was having at the time during the last speculation section. I was talking about I had seen an interview with Michael Hurst, and he was saying that this is his saga that he's telling. So the sagas in nature were exaggerations kind of events.
Of course. I mean, storytellers are going to do that regardless.
Yeah, well, they didn't really necessarily feel like they had to keep to the truth.
Yeah.
So they had poetic ways of telling their stories. So, okay. Paul, did you have something you wanted to say?
Yeah, actually, mine was with Rollo. Rollo and, well, not so much Rollo, maybe. The King...
Jarlborg?
Jarlborg. Thank you. I was trying to remember. Oh, I kept thinking it was Borg. But...
Jarl's a title.
Yeah, Yeah. I was just thinking of whenever they told him that he wasn't going, I'm thinking that he's going to attack the village or something while they're gone. You know what I mean? It's just there for that to happen. So I don't know if maybe this is when Rolo stands up and helps defend and he gets back into his brother's good side a little more, or does Rolo, you know, I think it's all going to hinge on something like that.
That could be the treachery in the next episode. That's great. I thought about that I didn't think that whole thought, but I thought something along those lines whenever they told him that he couldn't go, because even though we were discussing earlier about how it didn't look like he had a whole bunch of men with him, you're disappointing this guy and you're saying, hey, you're not invited to the party after he's been preparing for it for
four years.
Yeah. And then you just leave him there in your village and then you go off to parts unknown. So yeah, that would be, I mean, I could see that happening pretty easily. And that would kind of be Rolo's way back in.
And Jarl Borg actually like laid some pretty heavy threats on Ragnar, you know? So, he's obviously going to be up to something.
For sure.
And
do you think that his son comes back to help defend if he hears maybe that they're coming to attack the village? Does Lagertha and his son still have an affinity for the village, you know, just because they're mad at his dad?
Where does Lagertha have family? She has family somewhere. Mm-hmm. Is it Gotaland? Gotaland? I sound like I don't know how to pronounce it.
I don't remember. That was season one, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been a while.
It might be. Maybe they will hear of it because he'll go back and gather an army to bring or something, and they'll get wind of it, possibly. And with you saying that Rolo would have to defend, and goes along with what I was thinking about Rolo, because when we start this episode, he's at the bottom. He's reached the bottom, and he suffered for 4 years, all this stuff. And then he's talking about how he wants to find himself, which I don't know if you guys remember me talking about certain things about the hero's journey during Spartacus. Those are both part of the travels of the hero's journey, so to speak. And I thought that was pretty interesting as I was watching. I was like, are they trying to make Rolo a hero?
I mean, it's possible. You know, look at Lando Calrissian. We didn't like him at first. And then it's true, though. You hated the guy.
But did he go, rock bottom?
I think because he lost his city.
Yeah.
He had nothing.
That's true.
And then he's got to go try and find his friend who still doesn't, you know. He's always trying to bang Leia. I mean, it's not good.
Rolo is Lando.
He's our Lando right now.
We solved it.
If Lando was a rapist and a traitor.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, it's...
And white.
Yeah.
And white.
I wasn't going to go there. I don't see color. What's funny about that?
I don't have any other predictions, really. I just have hopes. I hope we see Bjorn and Lagertha soon.
I know.
I think we would have to see Bjorn next episode.
I don't know. They might be waiting to reveal him like soap opera style where, you know, maybe they're out. Maybe he's in England with his own group raiding, you know. I don't know. I mean, there's no telling how they're going to bring him in.
He sees Ragnar and he's like, what are you doing here, Dad? Cramping my style. Yeah. God.
Oh, well, do you think Lagertha remarries? Wait a minute.
I can't answer that because I know.
Do you think she's going to remarry?
I don't know, but I would say yes.
Mm-hmm.
Because she cut that part of her life off.
Complete. Right?
Yeah, she was done, you know. So she's not the type. She doesn't seem to me to be the type to wait around and be like, oh, does he love me? Loves me not? You know,
yeah, that's true.
That's not in her playbook. So.
Okay.
All right. Well, if you'd like to contribute to our discussion, please check out our website, noship.net. That's no, you can't touch me, sailing on a ship. Ship. So noship, noship.net.
Don't forget our Twitter handle.
Yeah, they can link to Twitter on our website.
Oh, nice.
But our Twitter handle, handle is at Noship Network. And our Facebook page is Noship Network as well. So. We would like to hear from you. So if you have any, you want to add to the discussion, if you want to add to the speculation, if you want to give out some historical gems, we'd love to hear it. All right. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Yep. See you.
Good night.
This was a No Ship Network podcast brought to you by Esoteric Studios and Axolotl Tank Productions.